All right, thank y'all for showing up yet again, as I did. Today we got a tale of two companies. One that is taking a beating. You know what? Fuck that. I'm not going to drink that coffee. Am I an animal? I just poured that. One company that is taking a beating and another company that is trying to be a little more innovative. Both of them are equally as hilarious. So as some of you may know, Florida passed a bill. One that I have not talked much about on here because I didn't really get the gist of it. But it's a controversial one. It's one that people are getting up in arms about. The state of Florida has notoriously been known to be kind of a wild state. A state that can be wrapped up in controversy, right? Throughout COVID, they were the first people to experiment with opening things up in large masses. Those people didn't really give a... They were just one of the places in the nation that didn't care. There were plenty of states that were like that, but Florida got the most news because Florida's always in the news. Everybody is always worried about Florida. There's always some bullshit going on about Florida. Everyone checks their birthdays to see what the news story was on their birthday of Florida man, .. So Florida, notoriously known to be a kind of a crazy place, outlawish type place. People do wild shit. It's not that far from the water. It must be something about being near the water, having a great climate that rains at least once a day, which I like, right? That is a good thing. Getting a steady revenue from old retirees, plus people from the Northeast whose only expansion out into the world is to move there. Florida has a phenomenal ecosystem of those two types of people. Old motherfuckers who want to retire somewhere warm and spend the rest of their days on a beach, which is great. And then you got people my age who went to Miami for spring break or hung out in Naples, Florida for a week. And they were like, hey, this is the place to be, moved there. And now they are a part of that cesspool. I haven't been to Florida in a while. Florida's nice. You know, Florida is good. Like I said, they were pretty open during COVID. They have been, again, historically a in the news kind of state. So this bill, I guess this is the Don't Say Gay bill, right? This is something that is barring. Let's get out what it really is. But from my understanding, it is a law that is barring elementary school teachers from telling children about sex and sexual orientation and that type of thing. But let's triple check, just so I don't speak out of turn here. Don't Say Gay bill. Signs the so-called Don't Say Gay bill. This was at the end of March 28th. Public school teachers in Florida are banned from holding classroom instruction about sexual orientation or gender identity. After Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican, signed the controversial parental rights in education bill. The bill, which some opponents have called Don't Say Gay, was signed by DeSantis on Monday. It reads classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade 3 or in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. Now that, to me, does not sound like a horribly unreasonable law. That, to me, sounds like a law that is actually pretty fucking good, right? I mean, if you're in kindergarten, you're 5. From 5 years old to the third grade, I mean, what's that? That's like 9, 10. I mean, why would you ever have to know about anal stimulation? Right? This is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that in some of these more progressive areas, not saying that Florida isn't progressive, but some of these more notoriously progressive states, there are classes for young children in that age group, kindergarten to the fifth grade, or third grade, maybe to the fifth grade too. It probably gets more advanced in the fifth grade. In the fifth grade, they teach you about gag balls. They teach you about gag balls and electric pads that you can put on vaginas, and they zap girls, and it makes shit flow and things explode and sparks fly. Maybe that's in the fifth grade if you're in the right place. But I'm hearing that there are teachers who really think that they're doing an 8-year-old child a service. They're giving them a benefit of knowing that, hey, if you don't feel like what you were born as or what the doctor told you you were, that's okay. That's okay. And it is, right? We've gotten to a point in society where that is okay and it's accepted. But can't a kid just fucking play hopscotch and eat a hot dog? You know, I'm talking about an 8-year-old fucking kid here, a 7-year-old kid. Does that kid need to know that when a girl touches her toes, her pussy opens wider so that it's easier access? Sex for children should be just a funny word. It should be a word that adults say, and you barely know what it is. In the third grade, I didn't know what it was. I hung out with a little Dominican kid named Steven Martinez. Steven, if you're still out there, man, I miss you. I want to reach out and reconnect. Last I heard from you, you were moving to the Bronx. Who knows? Maybe you're still alive. Can I drink this coffee? Let's see. God, no. It's so hot, the fucking handle's hot on the cup. But that kid, he was a pretty outlandish kid. He told me about some crazy stuff, and he was probably my first introduction into hearing things about sex. And even then, it wasn't super graphic. And that's where you should learn about it as a child, right? I don't know if getting a teacher, a person who went to school, usually new teachers are very, very enthusiastic. They're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. They're very ready to get to these kids. They feel like they're really going to make a difference. They spent time in school harboring this idea that once they graduate, whatever field that they're in, they really want to have an impact on these kids. And you get hired by fucking Johnson's Elementary School. And you're like, yes, the second grade. I've wanted to teach the second grade. Oh, man, since I made the decision to be a teacher, I thought the second grade would be great. A great time to make an impression on these kids and really bring them up in a world and let them know that the world is a better place, one that is caring, one that they can be free in. And I want to do that through teaching. And they say, hey, you got to tell these kids about fucking, and you got to tell these kids about irreversible surgeries that should only be done if you are absolutely sure, maybe at a sufficient age of development, right? You shouldn't be going home as a child and asking your parents, hey, mom, what is hormone pills? What are hormone pills, mom? Can I take those? Sometimes I want to wear a dress. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But on the end of that statement, after the parent asks, where the fuck did you hear that? If I was a parent, I would be very upset if I heard them say, Mr. Jackson. Oh, I picked the wrong fucking last name there. Mr. fucking oogity boogity. Who gives a fuck? Some teacher told your child about stuff that they probably don't need to know about. They don't. As a kid, sex, sexual preference, orientation, all that stuff is very, very, very far down the road. And we're talking about kindergarten to third grade, right? Most people don't lose their virginity in that time. Most people don't even find porn in that time. You haven't even hit puberty. Ladies, you haven't had a period. Guys, who knows if you've had a hard on it? 9? Good God. If you had a hard on at 9, I mean, you're probably banging out 30 one-arm pull-ups in the fourth grade. I mean, Christ. You'd have to be an animal. You'd have to be an absolute animal. You would be an Amazonian woman, one of those You ever hear about those legendary, like, Amazonian women that were real tall and big and they were fucking people up? If you got your period in the fucking second grade, you would grow up to be that person. I think, right? I think. Then again, I think I heard somewhere that periods start as early as 10 years old. 10 years old, all right, I can see it, you know. But even then, I mean, Christ, you don't know what's going on. Even when you're a boy, the first time you get hard, you don't know what the fuck's going on. And now, an adult, the people that control every fucking moment of your life, the people that are supposed to be guiding you into this world, are wasting their time when they could be teaching you, you know, when there could be legitimate programs on how to, you know, how to network. That would be great to learn as a child, especially in this day and age, right? In this day and age where person-to-person networking is getting more and more scarce, that's one way, one thing that you could use that time for. Give them a valuable fucking skill. Fucking is something you learn about in high school, realistically. Well, middle school, right? Middle school. It's funny because when I was a kid and Teen Mom started coming out, all the older women were like, Jesus Christ, 16, they're having kids. It gets younger every year. Good God. So that's probably why now they're like, all right, these kids are fucking in the womb. These kids are fucking in the incubator after they've gotten out. Look at that. Look at these kids. They're just humping each other. They're on they don't even know what's going on, and they're humping each other, and that other baby is pregnant now. Because while they're in the womb, we didn't play a voice recording of a woman telling our child about sex. We didn't tell them. We didn't have the audio recording of about blowjobs we were supposed to play for our child. And now it doesn't know what to do. Well, here's the thing, guys. Most kids, doesn't matter how crazy this world has gotten, most children are not thinking about that. Yes, there's some children who feel different, and that's fine. They should have every opportunity to express that. But there are other children, and some may say more children, that don't feel that way and don't need to know these things. So how about a little more concentrated of a program, right? How about a little, I mean, again, you don't want to out these kids. All right, anybody who thinks that they should be the opposite sex, come on down to the office. We're going to talk about it. No. There should be, if you want to have groups as a child, but even then, it's incredibly delicate. It is an incredibly delicate topic. And I think that the best way to go about it is to do what Florida is doing and just get it the fuck out of the school system. Get it the fuck. We're not ready for that. Children are not culturally savvy to the point where they should be learning about sex. Maybe in so many years when we all have neural links and everyone's a fucking genius and babies come out knowing the Pythagorean theorem and outsmarting their parents and shit, okay, now these kids are really fucking smart. These kids are going to be the actual future. Fuck it. Maybe they'll be able to take that. But right now, they're still just children. So I brought all that up, right? Because as you all know, like I said, I started this Tale of Two Companies. One that's taking a beating, and that's Disney. Disney, a company that cannot afford any losses, a company that is very close to being on its way out. Very close to being on its way out. The people who work for Disney they have a problem with this bill. They have a problem with the non-progressive approach that the governor of Florida is taking to, I guess, in their minds, misinformed children. Or again, I'm just trying to. This isn't anything official in terms of motives. I'm just trying to think here what the motive would be. I mean, maybe you have a kid that is feeling weird and that strikes a chord with you. And I know Disney employs a lot of people, but Christ, are all these people feeling this way? Is it not just, hey, I'm doing this, you should do this if you're a good person, right? Groupthink, right? Is it? I mean, it might not be that. but it seems like it. Whenever something like this happens, that law is a perfectly reasonable law. The fact that something like that should even be made, the fact that there are teachers, that there are school curriculums that are allowing that, is already craziness, right? Isn't it crazy already? Isn't it crazy enough already that, like, that's almost like teaching a kid that age about, you know, different ways, different theories that we as humans became humans, right? It's just as abstract an idea to a child, you know, different theories of evolution, an equivalent to sex, right? Both of those things are completely abstract ideas to children. They have no business knowing about either of those, but there's no law that says don't talk about evolution. There was at one point, right? There was, or there was a problem, right? Talking about evolution in schools and whatever. I don't know if there was ever a law. There could have been. But anyway, Florida is taking a beating. The people are very angry. Some of the people that work there are very angry. And people are boycotting the theme park. Oh, no. Oh, no. How is the Disney family going to eat? People aren't going to the theme park? Oh, my goodness. I wonder if they all went home and canceled the Disney Plus. The Disney Plus memberships. I wonder if they went home and got rid of all the memorabilia that they've bought over the years because they've been huge fans of Disney, but because they have a distant family member. Oh, you know, my sister's son is dating a girl that used to be a boy. So we don't go to Disney World anymore. Nope, we're not doing it. We love her. We love her and we support our family. And she is part of our family. So we're not going to go to Disney World anymore. Okay, that's good. I mean, I'm sure they're going to be fine, right? I'm sure if the entire state of Florida just stopped going to DC, to Disney, they would be okay solely on the fact that there are plenty of other people that will be there. They have so many other outlets. Yes, Disney World is lovely. But if it closes, Disney will be fine. They own God, okay? Disney's going to be okay. You're not going to win here is my point. You're fighting a losing battle. You're losing your job for nothing. That's cool. If you disagree with the establishment, start a podcast and talk about it. Start your own independent thing and talk about it, and maybe you'll get it out to enough people to where it'll make a point. But you and 16 coworkers are going to stand up and walk out of a fucking whatever, or you guys aren't going to work. You're going to go on strike. Yeah. I mean, it's just another case of people letting things that have nothing to do with their lives take over their lives. Right? Realistically, I would be willing to bet that 90% of the people that are protesting that bill don't have children. I would be willing to bet that. I'm sure that there's maybe 10% in there that do have children, but I'd be willing to bet that 90% of them don't have children. And it's crazy that you need to have children to think that there's something wrong with exposing kids to very sexually explicit practices, right? It's kind of crazy that it would take the simple fact of you having a kid. Not simple. I shouldn't say that. The task of having children. You have to have children to understand that we shouldn't let children know about a hardcore anal gape. Right? No, it shouldn't fucking be that. It shouldn't be that. It is a society gone mad. People worried about words. People worried about a bill that has very little impact on most people's lives. You know whose lives it has impact on? It has impact on the children and their families. And children are not allowed to make rules for themselves. So you know those families are going to go out there and they're going to vote and they're going to make sure that this shit gets passed or whatever the case is. I know that's not how it got passed. I know the governor signed it, but you know what the fuck I mean. There's going to be people petitioning for a bill like that to be passed. More so than there would be people opposing it. Unless, I guess, if you work for Disney. Disney, right? So look at this. Disney is set to lose a special district in Florida that lets it govern the land where its theme park sits. The Florida Senate passed a bill to eliminate the district. Florida's House and governor expected to make it law. So Disney's empire is starting to crack at the seams. It is Florida versus... This is a Roku News article. Shout out Roku News. I know they'll never hear me, but I love what they do. I talk about it all the time on here. I love what they do. They give you the facts, baby. Straight facts. No bullshit. But Disney, they are starting to, they're taking a beating. They're taking a beating because they are vehemently against something that sounds incredibly reasonable. I don't know if Disney has years of being against something irrationally, It's slipping my mind what exactly it is that that the founder, Mr. Walt Disney himself, there were people that he didn't like. People that he didn't like, and it was basically a product of his era, but nonetheless, I mean, built an empire, being a very, very smart and creative man, but also on the other side of that is a bigot, right? It was something. Oh, that's right. He doesn't like Jewish people. And Disney is a monstrous empire built on the hate of Jews. Maybe, right? I don't know if that's exactly what it is. I don't know if every day he was sitting there at his animation desk grinding out. He's like, I fucking hate Jews. Then he made Mickey Mouse. I don't know, but the point is that Disney has a history of being kind of an entity that that we as people barely understand, right? We know that it's a monstrous company. It is a monstrous entertainment, I mean, I guess you can call it monopoly entity. It is a vessel of consumption for everyone in the world. It is. They give us so much in terms. They give us so much shit to fuel an addiction, which is why you get people like my cousin who goes to Disney for every fucking holiday 3-4 times a year. You get people who are infatuated with Disney, which is great. I mean, that's what they want. I like going to Disney World. I'm going to go to Disney World and I'm going to get a shirt that says children shouldn't learn about anal beads. Right? Children, I'm going to have a shirt that says in the back, KY jellies should not be given out as take home study material for second graders. I'm going to wear a shirt like that, and I'm going to go up and down Space Mountain screaming that, you know, screaming things like that. Fellatio shouldn't be what children learn about after Christopher Columbus. Just keep feeding them the same bullshit that we've been taught years and years, the same whitewash history. Just leave it to that. If you're not going to switch it to the actual truth, if you're not going to do anything to the curriculum about the actual truth, right? When it comes to history, because everything else, right? The hard sciences, you can't really fake that. You know, even if you were to say that all that shit is made up anyway, you know, that's a whole nother argument. But if you're not going to, the thing that should change in schools, I mean, there's a couple things that should change in schools, right? I mean, people shouldn't be getting killed at them. That's one, right? That's a big one. People should not be getting killed at them. But as far as curriculum, right, go ahead, keep teaching the same stupid algebra and stuff that nobody uses if you must, right, if you must. But if there's something that needs to change about the curriculum, it's the history books. I mean, they're all lies, right? Not all lies, but there's a lot of lies, right? Especially when you start to learn about the history of the country, which is crazy, right? I mean, there's certain histories that they'll tell you straight. Yep, we bombed the fuck out of the Japanese. Yep, we went to Vietnam and we lost and we left. Or we left, so we lost, right? But they don't tell you the history of these things. Like the beginning steps of it is where it gets ugly, right? Or Operation Northwoods, they were going to blame some shit on the Cubans so we could go fight the Cubans. Vietnam, a war started over absolutely nothing, right? I mean, look, the U.S., we're told as a child and for a while after, like a while after, I'm sure in some states it's worse than others, some states that are less progressive, we're in high school still learning about Christopher Columbus being a decent person. You know, that, I mean, I remember that. I do. And I mean, obviously there were kids coming out saying, hey, but what about this? What about that? And there'd be discussions, but the curriculum was, hey, Christopher Columbus came here, fucked around, did a great thing. You know, and then it's even worse in elementary school because, you know, they just kind of perpetuate the whole thing. Here, let's make Native American fucking headdresses out of paper and we'll put them on. And some kids will wear, you know, pilgrim hats. And then we're all going to have a feast. Everyone's going to bring food in. That's nice. It sounds good, right? The first Thanksgiving, that probably happened, right? That might have been a time where people were friendly. Then they realized, hey, let's kill and fuck and rape and sell and we'll be good. We'll be fine. And that rarely ever gets mentioned, especially as a child. Which, again, shouldn't be, right? That is a brutal awakening for children. It is, but it's fucked up that our society has grown into, the beginning. We're all taught from children that our country was started this way, and then we have to learn later on how it actually was started. So it's kind of like they're just fucking with us at the beginning, right? They're just kind of telling us, hey, you know, they're just kind of putting it off because our society is very much an aesthetic society. It's a society where we think that, well, like a lot of modern places, death is an abstract thing. Like we're not all going to go through it, right? I'm only thinking about this because I'm reading a book on Red Cloud, one of the baddest Native American motherfuckers to ever live. Won a war against the whites, one of the few natives that were able to do that. But those people, they didn't shy away from death. They knew death was coming whenever. I mean, they lived scarier lives. They lived lives where they were much closer to death than we are. But they knew that death was just, it's part of life. Even the white people in those days, it's like you lived, you had a bunch of kids, and you hope none of them got tuberculosis or fucking Lyme disease. Or you hope they made it through the winter, right? Because of food. And that was it. You lost a couple kids. Lost a couple in the storm last year. Where they just rolled off the shoulders. Now, death is it's a very abstract thing because we're far away from it. So, moral of the story is, you wouldn't tell children about the real truth of what happened in the fucking 1400s when Columbus came here. You wouldn't talk to them about death. You wouldn't talk to children about evolutionary theories. You wouldn't talk to children about any of that shit because it's out of their realm. Nothing matters to them besides fucking playing, getting through school, doing their best that they can, learning how to do their best, learning how to put in effort to things and lose gracefully and win gracefully. And that is what children should be focusing on. So if you wouldn't talk to them about those other things, why the fuck are we talking to them about these very complex sexual situations? Very complex. Sexual and emotional. Disney has had a falling out with Florida's Republican-led government though, over the company's opposition to a Florida law that bans classroom education on sexual orientation and gender identity through the third grade. Like, how sick do you have to be a part of the people that oppose a bill like that? It's just nuts. I mean, it's nuts. It's the same people that walk out, that work for Netflix, that walk out after Chappelle. After Chappelle drops a gem of cultural oration, right? A gem of observations that he has made, and he has gotten it so concise that he's getting a point across and he's making you laugh, and you find a way to fuck that up. You find a way to be offended. You have to try to be offended. And fuck. Credit to Netflix for sticking through it. I mean, I don't know what Disney's going to do. Maybe Disney's a little bit more of a liberal company. I'd have to assume so, right? After making movies about the, what's it called? The Red something. It's not the Red Scare. Seeing Red or something about girls that have periods, which is great. I mean, that's great. They should have that for children. You know, certain ages, like we were saying, that kids don't know. And that's a great way to ease them into it. Right? Disney, you're doing a good thing there. You're doing great. You're brainwashing children. No, you're not brainwashing children. There are things that Disney does that is good, but they have just been a very dark, shady kind of entity for as long as we've known them. Seriously, that's just what it's been. And now they're taking a bit of a hit from the government. They're losing their land that they could evade taxes on. You know, and who knows what'll happen next with them. They're taking a beating. But like I said, the tale of two companies. We got another company, another big one that everybody knows, and they are going ahead and they're going to try and break into media and entertainment. Entertainment is probably the better term. And they're also going to do what many companies are going to do, and we're going to see it happen, is completely integrate or make it normal for things to be integrated with technology, right? Everything, I always talk about the book, The Third Wave, written by the CEO of AOL, who is at the forefront of the technological revolution, right? The dot-com bubble, whatever. AOL was the biggest thing in the 90s, right? 92, early, I don't know when they went out of business, but they were a big fucking thing for a while. And this guy mentioned the first wave of technology, right? Where there's technology and then there's people and it's separate, right? You can shut it off. You don't need to watch TV. You don't need to be on your computer. It's just play, right? It's something leisurely. And then there's technology or people using technology. Now you have to have a cell phone, right? You have to be on Facebook. You have to do these things. You have to be in the electronic world, I guess, if you want to call it that. So that was the second wave, and that was the wave that he was a part of. His company was. AOL made, you know, you got mail and email, and now that's the way to do it, right? It's better for the environment. It's all these things. It's faster than actual mail, and it was revolutionary, right? And now people need to use technology. The third wave is complete integration with technology. There will be nothing that you can do manually that wouldn't be done better, faster, easier with technology, right? I'm looking at my guitar here. There could be a day. What this guy's suggesting is that you'll have a guitar that tunes itself technology-wise. You say, hey, tune to the key of D, and the knobs twirl on their own and that type of thing, right? It's where I came up with my idea for my gloves that I don't do anymore, But I'm going to keep that idea in my mind. I'm realizing I almost spewed it to you motherfuckers. And I know someone out there is listening that has more money than me, and they're going to take my fucking idea. But nonetheless, we are entering the age now where we will be, there'll be no separation. Everything in our life, I mean, self-driving cars, just everything. I mean, there's already people that are living in the metaverse. Like every day, 24 hours a day, people are living in the metaverse. I saw a video of it the other day. It was a guy in his house, very small fucking space, and he wakes up. He already has his fucking goggles on. He wakes up somewhere, on a beach somewhere or whatever, and then he just keeps it on. And he walks over to his desk, he sits down, and he fucks around in the metaverse, and then he watches movies on his fucking TV screen in the metaverse, right? So it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. There's going to be a point where the physical body, the outside world, will mean nothing. And it's scary. But companies are exploring this. They are exploring this. They have to be exploring this. I mean, it's the next wave. It's the next thing. That's why you got Wendy's and the Wendy's verse. And you know how much I love that. I can't wait for that. And all the other companies that are going to be following right behind it. But the company I'm talking about today is Walmart. Walmart Air is launching their own Woodstock with an art and music festival. Sam Walton's grandsons are creating event. Wow, there's a typo right on this fucking thing. Creating event in Arkansas's Ozark Mountains. On stage, the Flaming Lips, the War on Drugs, a sex therapist, and sound suit artist Nick Cave. So a bunch of nobodies, right? You'd think a multi-billionaire company with their family as some of the richest fucking people in the world, you would think that they could get, you know, somebody, right? You would think that they could get some fucking people, but those are a bunch of nobodies. I don't know any of those people. The War on Drugs, that's a band. That's a band. You want to have a Woodstock, an art and music festival, and you're going to have a band called The War on Drugs. They better be anti-drug. Their name should be a fucking hypocritical statement by them. Let's see. The War on Drugs is an American rock band. Let's see. Started in 05. Wow. So they're a rock band that started in 05 and nobody knows the fuck they are. What do they talk about? Heartland rock, neo psychedelia. I want to see some. I want to see what they play like. Wow, they won a Grammy. Wow, that's why nobody knows them, because they won a Grammy. So psychedelia. They're not telling me much about what they do. I mean, they hang out with people who are nobodies, right? Like, look at this. Side projects and collaborations. Kurt Vile and the Violators. Who the fuck is that? Then there's a picture of them playing in Zurich. Sharon Van Etten. Soar Eros. Who the fuck are these people? Like, they just play with nobody. So this is a band that, I mean, you're already failing if you're trying to have a Woodstock. Woodstock had, you guys know, I live and die behind Woodstock and that cultural moment in time. You guys know that if I could be anywhere in the fucking world right now, it would be at Woodstock, tripping balls, listening to Carlos Santana absolutely rape his guitar and play Soul Sacrifice while I am playing hopscotch with 13 purple elephants, mini. You know, that's where I would be. But Woodstock had just the fact that Walmart, a company that is, it revolutionized retail, right? It put all the other ones out of business because it is a place where you can get everything. And then as soon as they could, they started selling shit online. So now you can get everything online, right? So Walmart, monstrous fucking company. They clearly, the heirs to this company, clearly know nothing about music. Because Woodstock Even the ones that went bad had monumental artists. And you'd think that a company as big as Walmart would you know, pull up with Iggy Azalea. I mean, Christ, you can't get someone with a name? My God, you know how many people who go shopping at Walmart would fucking jump at half a chance to go see Iggy Azalea? I mean, good God, how old is this? April 19th, so shit, what is it? For you guys, it's the 25th. Okay, so not that long ago. So let me read a little bit about this. I was reading this, and it's great. Several family members behind retailing giant Walmart Inc. said Tuesday they are helping launch a new art and music festival in their hometown of Bentonville, Arkansas, in a bid to turn the city into a cultural destination. Good luck. Good luck getting anybody to Arkansas. I mean, I can see the desire to be like Woodstock by having a monstrous event in a small little no-name town. But at least it was in New York. People aren't going to Arkansas for anything, right? Nobody is going to Arkansas for anything. I mean, there's two people that come to mind when I think of Arkansas. There's Ralphie May, rest in peace. And there's Bryce Mitchell, who talks about Arkansas. He's the only guy who gives a fuck about Arkansas. If you didn't know that Ralphie May was from Arkansas, you would never know it from watching his comment. I mean, you'd know he's from the South, but you wouldn't know that he's from Arkansas. So I didn't know that the Walton started in Bentonville, Arkansas, which is funny because that's probably why it breeds, why Walmart breeds such fucking crazy sick people that go there. I mean, I go there, you know, but they used to be the pages on Facebook and all this stuff about, today's Walmart customers, like just fucked up things about fucked up people at Walmart and why it has this kind of connotation of being a hillbilly fucking place started in Arkansas. Look at that. The event inspired by Texas's Austin City Limits Festival is called Format. For music plus art plus technology. See, that's what I'm saying. Plus technology. Now they're going to have the first ever music festival that's going to include technology. Right? And I wonder what that means. And it seems like they explain it a little bit here, but I wonder what that's supposed to mean. Technology. I mean, are we going to get in chambers and it's going to be a different concert experience? Like, I feel like there are some things that don't need to be enhanced by technology. They don't need to be. Doesn't mean that they can't be, right? And I'm a fucking idiot sitting down on a couch screaming at you guys. I'm far dumber than probably anybody that runs Walmart in any capacity, especially at the high level. I mean, these are the sons of the fucking people that own it. So, I mean, they obviously know something we don't. I don't know how you can include technology as, I mean, maybe because it's the way I'm thinking of it. I mean, technology is such a broad term, but when I think of it today, I'm just thinking of the new stuff that's coming, the metaverse and all this other bullshit. I mean, every concert has some kind of technology, right? There's got to be a big screen. Sometimes there's screens off to the side that tell you who's performing on what stages. You know, I mean, there's technology all over the fucking place. It's just, it's definitely kind of ambiguous is the point I'm trying to make. But it will take place the weekend of September 23rd. Performances will include bands like Rufus Du Sol. Oh, yeah. I love Rufus Du Sol. Phoenix, The Flaming Lips, and The War on Drugs, alongside art performances and immersive pieces by visual artists including Nick Cave, Pia Camel, and Jacoby Satterwhite. Oh, wow. I love the artistic stylings of Nick Cave. Walmart, you're getting bums. I mean, this is a bullshit set list. This is a real bullshit set list. I mean, maybe you're getting these guys because they're local. Maybe some of them are from Arkansas. You want to make Arkansas a cultural destination. This is not the way to do it. I mean, it's really not the way to do it. It's immersive pieces by visual artists. So maybe that is some of the technology. Maybe they'll sprinkle these crazy little nanoparticles into the crowd, and everyone will be transported to some fucking psychedelic place. But they won't be taking drugs. It'll be through technology. And Pia Kamel will, I don't know, stick a vibrator, stick a 13-foot vibrator all the way up her pussy. You know, I don't know. I don't even know if that's a woman, right? I don't know. But, I mean, what kind of event is this? This event offers a rare glimpse into the cultural ambitions of the next generation of Walmart heirs. Alice Walton, the daughter of Walmart founder Sam Walton, has long been known in art circles as a major collector who opened some museum 11 years ago. The coming festival was her blessing, but it has been spearheaded by two of her nephews, Stuart and Tom Walton, and the latter's wife, Olivia Walton. So, I mean, the first sentence, the event offers a rare glimpse into the cultural ambitions of the next generation of Walmart heirs. What was ever the cultural ambition to Walmart in general? Just to get poor white people to spend money? I can't see how this is any different, right? Walmart was made to get poor white people to spend money. So let's go ahead and switch that narrative up. Let's switch up the cultural ambition here. And we're going to put on a music festival in Arkansas. In Arkansas, which is a place known for their very wealthy and diverse culture, very artistic culture, they are going to, and we're going to charge people to go. We're going to charge people to go, probably not that much because our set list is dog shit. But we're going to try our best to switch the cultural ambitions of Walmart. We will no longer be getting white people, poor white people, to spend money. Now we will be providing them with entertainment while they do it. Haha. Live entertainment with the fucking huge bands like Rufus Du Sol and Phoenix. Very good. Very good. Those sound like TikTok artists. I feel like probably their songs have been on TikTok, you know, if I had to. And then, I mean, I'm looking at some of these other people. Here are some of the musical acts that will be featured at Format. Soon Kuti and Egypt 80. Charlotte Adigeri and Bolis Poopool. And then Herbie Hancock. I feel like I've heard of that guy. But, I mean, just these pictures are weird. It's looking very dystopian, right? I wish I could show you guys the posters, right? These online posters. They're very strange looking. Artistic, definitely artistic, but just a little weird for my liking. You know, I can't really describe it. You'd have to see it, but it's just funny, right? Rare glimpse into the cultural ambitions of the next generation of Walmart heirs. So you mean to tell me that the next generation of Walmart heirs doesn't want to keep making money? They want to put on music festivals instead with fucking no-name artists? Is that what they want? They'd rather do that. The younger Waltons are outdoorsy types who like to hike and ride bike trails. Ha, not for long. The brothers are also pilots and run a flight school, as well as oversee real estate ventures in the city. See, you can just, when you are part of the richest family in the world, you can just do nonsense. You can just do absolute nonsense. They're pilots, and they own their own flight school. I mean, for what? Realistically, for what? Like, why? If your last name is Walton, the only thing you should be doing is sitting on a 300-foot boat in the bluest fucking water in the world, asking your family for as much money as they can fucking send you because you know that they have it, and doing drugs and living in excess until you go out. That's what the fuck you should be doing. You shouldn't be wasting your goddamn time hiking up mountains and fucking, you know, Blow up the mountain if you want to get to the top. Blow up the fucking mountain. You are part of the Walton family. Mm. You like to ride bikes, do you? I bet you've never bought a bike from Walmart, Mr. Stuart Walton. I bet you've never seen those bikes. Those bikes are dog shit, brother. You buy a bike from Walmart, you're fucked. You're not going up a fucking mountain. You're not going anywhere. You're not going up a road. You're not. I mean, and then you got a flight school. Like, what a random business for a person that doesn't have money, right? This, you hear people who start businesses and they're usually little merchandising businesses, or they buy a franchise, or they buy a little space and they sell, you know, they start a little convenience store, some shit like that, right? That's like a normal business. You know, a motherfucker is balling out of control if they start a flight school. You know the amount of overhead you need to start a flight school? You need to find a fucking airport, right? You need to find an airport. You need to get fucking planes. You need to get teachers. I mean, starting a flight school is that doesn't sound very much like a shift in cultural ambitions. It sounds very a shift in cultural ambitions would be to put Walmarts in like Africa. All right, weird technical difficulty. You know they never end on this show, but I'm back to keep screaming about Walmart. Put a Walmart now again. All right, Walmart does a great job of helping out impoverished environments. I say it's just only poor white people. It's not. It's all different kinds of people. They help, you know, they definitely help, right? They help all kinds of people. But to say a statement like, you know, the cultural ambitions of the next generation of Walmart, to say something suggesting that they're going to change, that doesn't sound official to me. Right? That doesn't sound it doesn't sound legit. I mean, why all of a sudden would, I mean, this is just another venture to get money. It is, or else they would try to actually have a cultural event. A true cultural event. I mean, it takes a lot to happen. It takes a lot to happen. You need superstars. You need superstars. I mean, to compare it, to name this article to put this Walmart festival in the same category as Woodstock, you need to do something serious. You do. You need to do something fucking serious, man. Cultural events happen, I guess, in a vacuum, right? And I could be overanalyzing this, but Walmart is not changing its identity with this. I don't know if that's their goal. I don't know if by mentioning that the people who are heading this like to ride bike trails is trying to set out to say, hey, we're going to do something different now. I don't know. I don't know. Let's see. Let's see what else this says. Olivia, a New Yorker and former NBC News reporter, moved to Arkansas soon after she and Tom married in 2016. Together, they are teaming up on Format with a creative firm called Triadic, as well as with C3 Presents, the concert promoter behind Chicago's Lollapalooza. All right, Lollapalooza is a big one. Olivia Walton, 37 years old, who recently took over as Crystal Bridges chairwoman, said the festival got its start 2 years ago during the pandemic when Triadic pitched the concept to her and her husband, who is 38, and the couple realized how much they missed watching live music. That's how you know you got a lot of money. You miss live music, let's start a festival. Let's start a festival, and we're going to tag our company's, we're going to smear our company's logo all over it and pretend that it's anywhere in the vicinity of a monumental event like Woodstock. We're going to pretend, right? We are so completely engulfed in our own egos that we think we could create something that could ever resemble the event that happened, the events that happened at Woodstock. People are going to make documentaries about this festival. People are going to say, oh my God, I saw Rufus Du Sol and Pia Kamel, holy fuck. I mean, I was a kid, and we had a great time. Everyone helped each other out. Walmart provided so much for us. Like, it's just, they also saw a festival as a way to invest in the region's creative economies beyond Crystal Bridges. Ah, that's what we want. If you love a museum and go a couple times a year, but if you love a band, you'd go see them play a couple times a month if you could. You're more stoked to go. The festival aims to start small with an audience of 17,000 people in their 30s and 40s. Rather than the 80,000 plus crowds of mostly college students who typically attend festivals, as Tennessee's Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival organizers said, tickets will start at $275, and 400 camping sites will also be available to stake. Holy fuck. So not only do they plan on targeting a demographic who is less interested in going to a concert, going to a music festival, not only are they doing that, but it is expensive. I mean, I don't know how long, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when I went to Rolling Loud, an actual music festival, I think the tickets were upwards of $400, but it was 3 days of absolute beasts of artists. Absolute, I mean, J. Cole, Meek Mill fresh out of jail, Lil Uzi Vert, Young Thug, Post Malone, Rick Ross, Action Bronson, Future, Chris Brown, Nicki Minaj. I saw all these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? I saw all these guys. And I mean, 30 and 40 year olds. You want 30 and 40 year olds to take time out of their fucking day, time out of their, however long this event is, time out of their weekend. People who probably have families, right? 30 and 40s, you're much closer to having a family in that age than you do people my age, right? I'm 24. People usually have families in their 30s and 40s, you know. Not new families, but they have families, right? So you want people, they're also a little older, who, you know, they don't, do they know these people? This is the thing, 30s and 40s, I mean, if you're in that generation, you were born when? In the 80s? In the 90s? Right? Early 90s? Well, 1980, we're 2022. I mean, yeah, you'd be 42 years old. So 80s and 90s, who the fuck are these people you got coming? Who are these people that you have performing? You'd think you'd get artists from that era if you're trying to get, you'd get, I don't know, fucking New Kids on the Block, just stupidness, right? You'd get stupidness. People, if you're trying to get a certain demographic, one that already isn't super inclined to go ahead and spend all this money to go out and do this because they come from a generation where shit was a little bit cheaper, right? A little cheaper. They're a little older. They're a little less inclined to go wild at a fucking festival, especially one run by Walmart. But then again, I mean, I guess older people would be more inclined to go to a festival run by Walmart, you know? Like if I went to my boys and said, hey guys, let's go get some tickets to go to the Walmart fucking music festival, they'd be like, bro, get the fuck out of my face. So I guess I can see their reasoning. And I see why they're kind of shooting low for the 17,000 people. So it makes sense, right? It definitely makes sense. But there are some holes in this. There are some holes in this planning. I'll read a little bit more and then we're going to get the fuck out of here. So let's see. What are these pictures? Drawings of planned festival venues. Wow. This is weird. It's like these weird dystopian drawings of the idea that art has to be in a museum is something we're trying to get away from, he said. You guys aren't bringing art. You're bringing Grammy awarded or Grammy nominated or whatever. You're bringing people who won Grammys that nobody knows about. This is what I don't understand. You're bringing artists that nobody fucking knows about. He and his brother and wife have already installed dozens of artworks from their 400-piece private collection along bike trails and in parks and restaurants citywide. Yeah, I'm sure the people of Arkansas are walking around on bike trails saying, well, good Lord, look at that. Would you look at that art piece? I mean, that's a vintage Nick Cave right there. That's a let me get off this here bicycle. That is a vintage Nick Cave art piece. Holy shit. Thank God for the Waltons. I can't wait for that festival that's coming. That's going to be a good time. $275. Well, shit, fuck that. I'll just ride back to this spot and look at this picture all day. To kick off festivities in September, artist Doug Aitken will land his mirrored hot air balloon on the festival grounds of a 300-acre field surrounded by woods owned by the Waltons. Of course, they own the whole fucking thing. Dotting the field will be stages and immersive spaces designed by artists such as Justin Lowe and Jonah Freeman. To access those artists' particular venue, a dystopian speakeasy-style space. Wow, see, this is what it says. Audiences will first need to open what appears to be a portable restroom door. So it's just going to be like an immersive, weird fucking experience. I mean, it looks kind of cool, I suppose. I'm looking at some of these things. They look cool, but nobody knows who these people are, right? Brooklyn-based multimedia and performance artist Jacoby Satterwhite's work will also be represented at Format. This image is from a performance. And so, I mean, this performance, it looks like there's a guy in some weird clothing rolling around on a stage with smoke and shit. I mean, it's going to be kind of, I think some of the artistry they're trying to bring is a little bit out of the realm of the people of Arkansas, especially in whatever this fucking city is, this no-name fucking city. But then again, I mean, where else are you going to have a Walmart festival other than a place like that? You know, so all in all, guys, Disney's taking a beating and Walmart is taking advantage of a group of people that don't have much else in their lives. You know, people that are diehard Walmart fans, I guess, people that will live and die behind their corporation known as Walmart, where you can buy shit. You can buy stuff to clean up dog shit right next to cans of sardines, baby. Walmart, you can get whatever the fuck you want, super fucking cheap. And now you can go to a festival where they're going to have sexologists. That was another thing it said. There's going to be sexologists at the Walmart festival. Lord knows the people of Arkansas need some sexologists. Anyway, guys, this brings me to the end of today's episode. Thursday's episode is probably going to be audio only. Right now, as you guys listen to this, I am in D.C. Hanging out with my lovely lady. Hopefully while I'm out there, I can get some comedy in, and, I'm going to be doing an episode. It might sound a little different. It might be a little weird because I'm going to be doing something a little different, but I don't want to give too much away. Dates, May 5th, I'm going to be at Stevie D's Tavern in East Providence. I think it's a free show. It's at 8 PM maybe. Let's see. Stevie D's Riverside Tavern, May 5th, 8 p.m., no cover, 21 plus. Should be a fun night. Looks like there's, we got our host, Mr. Bo Applegate, the guy that's putting it together. Shout out, Bo. And then we got our headliner, Big D, featuring Trent Wells, Marie Connor, special guests, Andrew Haskell, Ben Polam, and then also you got me, motherfuckers, with Antonio Barboza. It's going to be Stevie D's Riverside Tavern, 24 Monroe Ave, Riverside, RI, if you're in the area. And then May 22nd, I'm going to be at the Comedy Connection. It's a Sunday, 7:30 p.m., nice and early. And that's it, motherfuckers. Talk to y'all soon. Peace. Hey.